as they're making their way out, I'd like us to open our Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I'll read from verse number 7 through to verse number 10. And then I'll jump to verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'll start reading from verse number 7 through to verse number 10. And then I'll jump to verse number 16. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse number 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 is our second Bible reading. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I'll read verse number 26. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, does I fight, not as one who beats the hare. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be teaching on what I've titled, Down But Not Out. Down But Not Out. Down But Not Out. Shall we pray? Spirit of the living God, we rely upon you this morning as we go in through your word. Speak to us, Lord. Teach us. Instruct us. Guide us. Let there be an infusion of life into us as we listen to your word this morning. Let there be a communication from you unto us, unto the deepest part of our being. I pray for an anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people. I pray that, Lord, you anoint me afresh and you make this word to come out of me like streams of living water. Let it be in accuracy, let it be in power, let it be in simplicity, in the love and the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. Let there be a touch, Lord, from heaven as we listen to your word today. Let it change us forever. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say big, amen. Down, but not out. You know, the Bible uses a lot of metaphor to describe our engagement with life. And Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, happened to be one of those people who gave a vivid description of what life is all about. This man had tremendous insight, tremendous revelation. And going through the pages of the scriptures, especially the New Testament, where you find these epistles to different churches, you have the sense that this man actually lived a full life. Full in the sense that every aspect of the description that he would give to the churches reflected a man that has been there and has done it. And his life was so full that you could actually have 10 people live different aspects of his life and they will still be regarded as full. It was packed full. It was like a life of 10 or 20 people lived by one person. Tremendous revelation. And he gave tremendous insight into our walk in life, both in life and in ministry. And this is one of the the insight that as recorded in the book of the First Corinthians. He was writing to the First Corinthians, He was writing to the Corinthians in this particular passage, and he has this description of life and ministry as a kind of a boxing context. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 26, where we have just read, it says that, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Two things, two descriptions, describes it as a race, and then describes it as a fight. You remember from last week when we were talking about fighting the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, I believe, fighting the good fight of faith. So it describes our engagement with life as a kind of a fight, a special one called boxing. Now, I want you to see this translation. Would you like to put up the other translation for 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26? I believe this is the word translation. It says, so I run, but not without a clear goal ahead of me. So I box, but not as if I were just shadow boxing. I box, but not as if I was doing shadow boxing. Now we're going to go into 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in a short while, and I'm going to be talking about something from that passage, because that is actually where we derive the title, Struck Down, but Not Out. But I want you to appreciate what Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the impression he's trying to create here, the picture he was trying to give to these people, that amongst other things, it appears that life and ministry is like being engaged in a boxing context. And in the boxing context, punches are thrown. The context of what he was talking about here was that he was intentional about what he was doing. He was not just doing it haphazardly. There is a strategy to the way he was doing life and he was doing ministry. It was strategic. It was focused. It was purposeful. But it gives us a springboard to actually see life as a kind of a boxing context. And you are in it already. Somebody say, I don't want to fight. No, too late, because you are already in one. We're in a kind of a boxing context. And in this boxing context, punches are thrown. And he's saying that it's not just shadow boxing. Shadow boxing is a situation where, you know, while trying to train and prepare your muscles for the fight, you're just boxing the air, you know, boxing the air like that, you know. But that's not what we're doing in life. There is an enemy. There is a contest that we are actually engaging. So we're not shadow boxing, but we're throwing the punches, and punches are being thrown at us. And if we picture life in that way, we will be able to appreciate that whenever we go out in our day-to-day activities, there are punches that are being thrown at us. We are in a contest. We are in a fight. And this fight is fierce and ferocious. It's dangerous. It is something that we have to put at the back of our mind. And so punches are being thrown, and we need to know how to manage the fight, and that's exactly why what we're going to be talking about this morning, because as the punches are thrown, we get hit in life, you know, we get struck in life. How is it that we are able to still continue and stay in the fight when we get struck, when we get hit? You remember last week we were talking about though weary, yet pursuing. Though weary, yet pursuing. Today, I want us to reflect on what it takes to continue to stay in the fight even when punches are thrown at you and it hits you. Now, two things are clear from this passage. Number one, it is sure that you will get hit because it's a boxing fight. Just think about it. In a boxing fight, two people are in the ring with with the referee. And sometimes when those guys are really very tired, they hold on to one another. And the job of the referee is to make sure that they keep punching each other. So he will come in the middle and separate them. Come on, guys. We've paid to come and watch you box, not come and watch you hold hands and hug with yourself. And those guys will punch each other. You will get it. That's the first thing that I want us to appreciate in life, as we go in life. And when I say get it, I'm talking about trials, temptation. There will be health crisis, loss of loved ones, employment shakeup, betrayal. Most of those things, sometimes you don't even get to know that they are coming. They just come all of a sudden. Boom! You are hit. You know? At other times, you actually see them coming. You know, you actually see the punch from the opponent coming. Relationship issues, marriage crisis, you know, you see them coming. The truth of the matter is we get hit in life. As we pass through this terrain called life, we get hit, we get pummeled, as it were, from every side. You know, that's what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, count it all joy when you face various trials. I love the word various. It's because it comes in diverse forms and shapes to us. You know, as you're coming out of one, there is another one waiting. As you're finishing that battle, you are engaging another one. The blow and the scourge and the blow of life just keeps coming. And we need to appreciate that that's part of life. It's just part of the terrain that we're in. Being a believer does not immune us from being hit. Being a follower of Christ does not keep us, you know, from these forces of life coming to hit us. Coming to hit our families, coming to hit the things that we so much dearly love and appreciate in our lives. So this punch has come at various times in various forms and shapes. So that's the first thing we need to appreciate. You will get hit. Or you're very much likely to be hit as you pass the terrain of life. The second thing we need to know is that you may actually go down. And that's the sad part of the story. You may be so hit that you may actually go down. You may be so hit that you actually lose, as it were, momentarily your bearing in life. You know, you lose, you know, where you are. I'm not sure whether you have watched some of those, you know, boxing. I'm not a fan of boxing, but I do watch it sometimes, you know, when you're just scrolling the TV. And then the guy gets hit and he's like, kind of disoriented for a few seconds, you know, because the blow comes not just heavily in a strategic way, you know, boom, on the head. And the guy is already going to meet the referee, and the referee has to change his direction. That, no, I'm not the one you're boxing. You're boxing your opponent. You get hit hard, you know. There is a modified form of boxing that they call kickboxing. That one is even more serious, you know, because in kickboxing, you're not just using your hand. You're using your leg and your knees. And those guys will they can slap your face with their foot. You know, and just hit you while you are trying to do this. You know, trying to box, the guy just comes with the knee, boom, on your jaw. And sometimes I wonder why did they allow those things to take place. But you know, it takes place anyway. You know, I remember in those days when we were growing up, when my mom would come around, we know that we're not going to enjoy any boxing match or even wrestling match because why can't they stop them and all those, you know? I said, Mommy, just go away now. Let's just watch this thing, you know? Because she couldn't just imagine two people being kept in the ring and people were cheering. Woo! You know? And if you have watched, this kickboxing, there is sometimes blood all over the place, you know? The cage fight, you know? And that's what some men, you know, get excited about as they see blood, you know. You know. but that's just a picture of what actually takes place in life. You know, it's a picture of what takes place in life, in our engagement with life. It is not just sure that we'll get it. Sometimes we may go down. You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12? I want you to turn there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You know, we have just talked about the fact that it is almost sure that you will get it, you know, talking about trials. And the Bible says, count it all joy when you face diverse trials and temptations. James chapter 1, verse 2. Now we're talking about something else. He said, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. I love that qualification, fiery trial. The first one we've talked about, trial, this is another level of trial. This is what they refer to as a killer punch, a fiery trial. He said, not count it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you. I love that word, strange things. It's not strange. It's saying that killer punches are not strange to come to you. When they come to you, it's just part of the game. It's just part of life. It's just part of the things that you are involved in, because that's just part of the contest. Don't count it strange as if some strange things have happened to you. And those things do happen. As a matter of fact, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were instances when he faced trials, and there were instances when he faced fiery, what I describe as fiery trials. You remember, there was a time in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, when his cousin by the name of John the Baptist was beheaded. And that was a trial. If you read that passage, the Bible says Jesus actually left into a secluded place. Why? Because he was grieving. It hit him. Right. That's a kind of a punch. But scroll down a few years after, Jesus was actually hit harder when he was hit on the cross, of course, for the reason of your sin and mine, and that was a heavy blow. That blow did not just strike Jesus down, as it were. It struck him to the point that he wasn't just on the ground. He actually went below the ground. That was a fiery punch. So I'm just trying to make you realize that there are punches and there are fiery punches that come our way. You will get hit. And secondly, you may go down. But the crux of the matter this morning is not the fact that you get hit. It's not even the fact that you may go down. It's how to continue to stay in the fight when you're struck down. When you feel struck down, when you feel devastated by the situation and the circumstances around you in your life, how do you still stay in the fight? Because it's important for us to know that. And Paul gave a very vivid description of what he experienced as a person in the passage we just read a short while ago. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it was describing how some of his own experiences, and he was trying to relay it to the believers that these things have happened to me. It says, persecuted. He said in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, in that passage, it appears he's describing two different people, but we know that he's describing just one person. And he's describing two levels of experiences, the first and then the second. The first experience will be hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Still the same person. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. What does that mean? It means that Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing about different levels of his experience in terms of how it related to the attack that he experienced as a person. There were times when I felt persecuted, but at the same time, there is a deeper feeling that I wasn't feeling forsaken. There was a time when I felt hard-pressed on every side, but there was a deeper feeling that I wasn't feeling crushed. There was a time when I felt struck down, but there was a deeper experience of not feeling destroyed. Now, what was he talking about? He's talking about a situation where there is a deeper experience that somehow was able to sustain the initial superficial experience. That there was a deeper experience that was able to sustain an initial, somewhat superficial experience. And you will not get the full picture until you get into verse number 16. What does he say in verse 16? He says, therefore, we do not lose health. Therefore, we do not lose health. So, how come you did not lose health, Paul? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Ooh, now I got it. There is an outward man that is perishing. And that's the outward, that's the part of man that is perplexed. That was the part of man that was hard-pressed. That was the part of man that felt persecuted. That was the part of man that felt struck down. But the Bible says in verse number 16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, this is what he's saying. That each time I go through the grace of life, I have two levels of experiences. There is an experience of what comes as a result of the attack that comes to me, that hits me, and is non-deniable. But there is a deeper experience that comes from within my spirit man that is able to somehow sustain and overcome and is able to empower me to overcome the initial superficial experience. And that is why it is possible to feel struck down on one hand, but still not feel destroyed. Because there is an initial, there is an experience that is deeper than the initial one just being mentioned. As a matter of fact, if you see what it says in verse number 10, it says, always carrying on the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, the dying of the Lord, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. This is profound. This could only have been written by the Spirit of the Lord. It uses the word carrying upon the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the life of Jesus may be manifested. Manifested. So the first one is a carrying upon, which is superficial. The second one is a manifestation, and the manifestation actually takes its call from within the Spirit. Now, let me zero in on exactly what I want us to, what I want you to gain out of this message. There is a part of man that we all need to pay particular attention to, because that is actually where we derive the strength, the source of our strength and energy to be able to withhold or withstand, rather, the punches of life that will come to us. There is a part of you and I that we need to pay particular attention to, which is supposed to sustain us as we move through this path called life. Now, the sad reality is that many of us get so much focus on the part of our being that is doomed to fail when punched. And we fail to realize that the development of that part of our being that is supposed to supply us with strength is actually what is more important. Now, what am I talking about? Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. If you've been part of the body of Christ for a while, you will have heard that before. The body is the superficial shell that you and I carry. That's what I see now. If I'm not using my spirit eyes, you know, that's what sits here. That's our house. The Bible calls it the tabernacle, the temporary shell that we carry around, which we carry around for years, you know. That's what we see. There is the part of man that is called the soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotion, which is where you process information. There is a part of you which is your spirit, which is actually the initial, most important, fundamental creation of God before he put that spirit into a body. That spirit man is the real you. That spirit man is the real me. Now, it is the spirit man that actually has the capacity to be able to take a man that is receiving several punches in life to still be able to continue in the battle and in the fight even when he gets struck down. It is that man, that spirit man. Now, unfortunately, not every spirit man is developed to be able to withstand those pressures of life. And Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was only telling us about his experience or their experience. He's not relating it to the experience of every believer. Potentially, every believer should be able to have that experience. But vitally, not every believer is having that experience. Why? Because we have failed to develop that part of our being that actually has the capacity to sustain us through trials and fiery trials. And the challenge this morning, people of God, is for us to begin to focus our attention on the real person that matters, on the real being that is able to withhold and withstand the pressures of life. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Now, you will agree with me that we, as a society, we're just obsessed with our cage, with our frame, with our physical component. We are just obsessed by it. Now, there is nothing wrong in taking care of the body, because the body needs to be taken care of, because that's your passport to staying on this part called health. When that part is taken off, then you can't stay around here. You know, sometimes when people say, you know, I see a ghost coming to my room or something, I said, no, ghosts are not permitted under the covenant that upholds the earth to stay around here. Why? Because you need a physical body. Now, you can have a manifestation of spirit, yeah, but ghost as a person cannot sit down here and be drinking and eating coffee with you. It's not possible. If such a person says, I have that experience, then that's why they send him to the doctor, you know, because it's not the natural. For you to be here, you have to carry a body. You have to carry a body. That's what gives you a permission to stay here. And that's why it is important for us to take care of our body. But we do more than taking care of our body these days. We are obsessed by our bodies. And that is the superficial aspect that gets easily struck down. Easily struck down. Have you seen people that have taken care of their body, you know, build muscles, six packs and all those, you know, eight packs, whatever you want to call it. And a small, tiny mosquito will bite them during their visit to Africa. Not that there is anything wrong with Africa. And that guy will be on the floor, on the ground, on the bed for days, because a small mosquito, an untrained mosquito that is even under training, has just passed a plasmodium into his body, right? And that body becomes useless. And that is the part that we invest our life into. The other time I was having a discussion with somebody, and he says, I'm surprised at how many gyms, house gyms are springing up everywhere. Even in this tiny place called Ellenbrook, you can count tens of gyms. And there are people going there, not animals, people, human beings going there. You know, I have no problem with gyms. As a matter of fact, I think that many of us staying here, apart from me, need to go to the gym, you know. You know, but it's an obsession. It has come to the point of an obsession of the body. We are obsessed by it. Some of us are obsessed with our mind. Put our attention on all the information, the books, and and whatever information. And there's nothing wrong with information. As a pastor, by the grace of God, I seek and search information, both to be able to be effective in my ministry and also to be able to be effective in my secular employment. But there is a part of us which, when the hips are down, this is actually what will sustain. It is your spirit man. Unfortunately, we do not have a kind of a machine to be able to measure your standing spiritually, I mean your capacity spiritually. When you want to go for an athletic competition, they take you through what they call medicals to be sure that you are able to be fit for that particular competition. They test you. When you want to go and represent maybe your college or something, they have a mock test for you to be able to check your capacity to perform where you're going to be representing. Now, unfortunately, in the game of life, there is no instrument to check your spirit man before you are thrust into the battle called life. You will find out about your spiritual capacity when you are already in it. Unfortunately, that's what makes casualties to be everywhere. Because there is no way you will be learning to train when you're already in the battlefield. It's dangerous. Now, the spirit man of a man is what sustains him. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, and I'll begin to round up from here. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. The Bible says here, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? You see that? The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. Another translation says in infirmity. But who can bear a broken spirit? When life attacks you as a person, and we have already said that in a boxing competition, you're going to get hit. You will get to meet with someone someday that will give you some information, some news. Something will happen at home. Something will happen at work. Something will happen with your friends. Something will happen in church. Something will happen in the society. Something will happen with your job. Something will happen with your career. Something will happen with your health. Something may happen anytime, anywhere. You know, Jesus was given an illustration about the wise man and the foolish man. And he says the wise man built his own house on the rock, and the foolish man built his own on the sand. But the waves, and that refers to the trials of life, the waves will come to both of them. None of them is going to be spared. Why? Because we are in this race called life. Now, so when you get struck down, when you get hard-pressed, when you get persecuted, now, those things come to you at the superficial level. They come to you at the level of your body. They come to you at the level of your mind. In other words, they can come skin deep. They can come bone deep or flesh deep. But without your permission, none of those trials or fiery trials will be able to crush your spirit without your permission. And the only way you permit such attacks of life to crush your spirit is if there is no inbuilt capacity in the spirit man. Because the Bible says here, it's the spirit of a man that will sustain his infirmities. It will sustain his weaknesses. It will sustain him in trials and in temptations. People of God, I want to challenge you to pay attention to building your spirit man. I want you to ask yourself, how much am I investing into my spirit man? How much time am I taking to develop my spirit man? Because every other part of you will only last you until you go across from here to there. It won't always be there. You know, the other time I saw this great man, Muhammad Ali, you know, passed away, I think sometimes last year, Cassius Clay, before he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. And for several years before he died, he was actually having, you know, some medical conditions. Some people thought it was Parkinsonism. Other people thought it was punch drunk syndrome of some sort, that it was as a result of the punches he had received over the years. And when I will compare this, the frailty of this man to what he used to be in his heydays, I just got amazed. The Bible says the outward man perishes. It surprises me how much we take more effort to take care of our bodies, which is not bad, our mind, which is not wrong on its own, and neglect our spirit man, which is the most important part of you. That spirit man is what will live forever. Why? Because it's created in the image and the likeness of God. And that is the part that we need to invest time to develop. Because no one is born a spiritual giant. No one is born spiritually matured. Everyone is born as an infant, spiritually. And as you take time to develop yourself spiritually, then you mature. And so, when you mature spiritually, then it is much easier for you to handle the punch or the punches that life throws at you, because it will come. It will come. Some of us are under some kind of punches now. Some of us are actually disoriented because it hit us hard on the head. And we're confused about what we're going to do. But a well-built spirit man will keep you in the fight when you're struck down. It will keep you in the fight. It is only those that are in the fight that have the hope of winning. Once you throw in the towel and you say, I'm sorry, and you remove the glove, and they say, okay, I'm sorry, I've finished, I'm not involved anymore, and you go out of that ring, you can't come back to say, excuse me, sir, I'm now good, I can continue. No. But as long as you stay in the fight, you have this hope of winning the battle. Let's take time to develop our spirit man, people of God. Let's spend time to develop, because it is what will sustain us as we go in life. Two different people will hear exactly the same news, and their responses will be different based on their spirit man capacity. I've shared it before, I share this with all sense of modesty. You know, when some people get some news about certain things, when it relates to their job, for instance, they get crushed and devastated. As a matter of fact, they start making decisions out of confusion. You know, John just shared this morning about how he got the news about his job. I got a similar news. You know, I don't even remember how many times I've got news about termination of jobs. I can't remember, because for some reason I'm not a bad employee. I'm not a bad employee, but I get it. You know, and I just move on. It's just I'm not becoming a master. You know, I just received the news. I said, praise God, there's something good, better on the horizon. You know, life goes on. Lord, am I okay with you? And he says, I'm okay. Yeah, life goes on. Life is good. You know, I've shared this with you a few years ago. Like I said, there are many, but let me just take one of them, you know. I notice how the Lord has built me up in this, you know. I noticed the first time I was going to be told that, we no longer require your services, and I was shattered. I was devastated. As a matter of fact, I called my employer, you know, I think over the weekend when it was not official to be calling your boss, and I said, please, keep me. What did I do? You know, I said, no, you've done nothing. It's just that the business is not progressing very well, and we can't continue to pay your wages, you know. And I think I even negotiated, no, I can actually bring my wages down just for you to keep me in there, you know. He said, no, I'm a lady. No, you need to go, you know. Sorry, it has to. I was completely shattered and devastated. Fast forward 3 years after, no, three, 4 years after. Like I said, I've not had many of such experiences. 4 years after, and the CEO of the company I was working for came into the office and he said, you don't usually see me here. I said, no, you usually don't come here. We only talk on phone. I'm sorry, I have a bad news. And I was with a bottle of water on my table. I'm sorry, I have a bad news. And, you know, the business needs some reshuffling, and we may no longer require your services. And this is the letter. I said, thank you. And I took the letter from him. I said, so what's happening to the business? What's going on? And of course, the first thing is change of work. What am I going to do? But immediately, because over the years, there has been something has changed in my spirit, man, you know? I said, so what's happening? We just want to make some changes. It's not a bad. I said, no, that's fine. And as soon as he walked out of the office, he had probably not gone far. I shut the door. I just went on my knees. Father, thank you. Thank you. No scandals, no issues, no? Thank you. I've not killed anyone in this clinic, you know? Thank you, Lord, because I'm moving up to something greater. Thank you, Jesus. You know? And then I, praise God. And then I came out of the office and my colleague said, so what happened? I said, he just said this. So what are you? I said, cool down. Things are sorted. Just relax. You're not the one that is fired. I'm the one that is fired. What's your stress? Why? The spirit of a man will sustain him. The spirit of a man will sustain. After dinner, I think I told my wife, maybe over the phone or something, and she said, you must be joking, because I was just calm about it, you know. I mean, it's not the end of life. God will make a way. God will make a way. And I kept confessing the word, and that was what happened. As a matter of fact, when that, I said, God. So this has been, so if they had not fired me, I wouldn't have found this one, you know. Because it was far better in every area than what I was sitting down thinking I was enjoying life, you know. Because God wanted some kind of he had packaged the job, he had packaged everything, and he just wanted something to move me from point A to point B. Now, but the spirit of a man will sustain him. There are people that they will tell that news, and like I told you, the way I handled it years before, prior to that time was completely a wreck. Why? I believe at that time I had not matured, you know. So people of God, this is what it is important. Let's invest into our spirit man. Let's take time and build up our spirit man. Reading the word, studying the word, you're building your spirit man. You're not doing that because you want to preach to anyone. Taking time to stand and pray, you're building your spirit man. There is a spiritual capacity that you are building. There are instances when I will shut myself in my room and I will just pray in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the gym in the spirit. I was lifting some weights spiritually that you can see. Why? Because I was building myself spiritually. Because the tides of life and the waves of life will always come. They will always come. This week, there are some people here, and I'm not prophesying. Some of us will receive some blows this week because it's just part of life. But when you have a spirit man that is built up, you are able to handle the situation very well. I will close with this because I have a lot of testimony. Years ago, we had one of our kids, and our kid came, you know, early, and then and then we went to the hospital and all those things. And then the kid was going to be there in the hospital. And they said, you know, the potassium is not good, you know. The calcium is not doing great, you know. For some of us who don't know, those are electrolytes in the body that is showing that things are not going well. You know, the chloride level is just down. I said, and then they kept giving us the report. I took it from my wife. I said, don't bother yourself with this report. You know, if you continue to use this report, there will be trouble. Just put it down. Can we go home? They said, yes, you can go home. Let's go home. Said, but we're going to leave this baby. When you are with the baby, you are not sustaining this. They're not even allowing you to touch the baby. You know, I know there is an attachment to it, but let's go home. It's in the hand of the, come on. It's better at this job than us. Let's go home. And say, okay, let's go. If you say so, let's go. Why? Because at that time, I had come to a point by the grace of God where I've come to realize that the Bible says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, they are the one that abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my God, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. You know, that's the spiritual capacity that you build. So when things happen next time, you're not shouting, you know, some words that have been banned, you know. I can't even see them from the pulpit, you know. But you're speaking the word. Why? Because that's what fills your heart. That's what fills your capacity, because that's your spirit man has been built. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why was he not destroyed? Because he had an inbuilt spirit capacity to handle the situation of life. People of God, I want to challenge you. Spend time developing your spirit man. Stop running helter-skelter. Spend time developing your spirit man. Spend time in the word. Spend time praying. Spend time building and speaking, you know, words that will build and encourage your heart. Those are the things that will build you up so that when you step out next time and the blows of life come, you have enough capacity to be able to withstand them. It is well with you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shall we pray?